the home team.
And here we go.
Hour two, the home team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future. Elevated, Chris Brame, Tyler Head with you till 6:45 tonight. Then the Lady Dogs and Kentucky, 7 o'clock tonight. Then crank it up tomorrow, Georgia and Tech for a three-game weekend series in baseball. First game tomorrow here in Athens. Saturday, yep. They'll play at Tech. And then Sunday at the home of the Gwinnett Stripers, Cool Ray Field.
What was the issue with Truist Park where they couldn't play there? What happened?
There was some sort of winter snow event that they had, and it damaged the field, and they don't want anyone playing on it until the Braves.
Gotcha. You know, they haven't changed all the signage up there yet. Like, they're out, like, the scoreboard sign still says SunTrust.
Oh, does it?
Like, the outside sign still says Truist now, but the a lot of stuff inside the park hasn't been changed yet.
Well, they have until, because the Braves open on the road.
Okay.
So, what do they have?
They don't have any, like, last-minute exhibitions right before the season starts?
Yeah, they don't play. No, they don't.
I guess they would do that if they're starting off at home.
Yeah. No, they open at Arizona.
Okay.
Then they go to San Diego. Their home opener's not until April 3rd.
Okay.
Against the Marlins.
Wow, so the season starts really early this year, doesn't it?
April 26th.
April 26th.
No, I mean March 26th. Sorry.
March 26th.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Back in my day, it used to start in April.
Yes, it did. But that's the thing. Everything creeps.
It does.
Creep.
You know, they're talking about with this new CBA thing for the NFL, if they're to go to the 17-game regular season, apparently they won't add a second bye week into that, but it will push the playoffs forward a little bit. And that would essentially have the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. So while, you know,
which is this like the second weekend then of February.
Second weekend in February, where you also have a national holiday the day after. You know, people like, oh, the day after Super Bowl should be its own holiday. Well, you can, if you move the Super Bowl up a week, then you technically have a holiday.
National
the next
holiday,
day.
Come on. Bankers get that off.
I was going to say, I'm just not...
Bankers and mail carriers.
Not everybody gets that day off, but it is on the holiday calendar. So I think that's in line with what the NFL's thinking. They're like, oh, well, if we push it the day before a national holiday, then a lot of people will have the day off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can increase ratings and people that may travel to the game. You never really know. And not that the NFL needs any more money, but they're going to take whatever extra money they can.
I've even seen that there's that the idea being floated, too, where, like, every player has to take... there's not an extra bye week, but you would have to sit for at least one game.
You're only allowed to play 16 games.
Yeah, just come on.
That already sounds like a terrible idea.
Yes.
And, you know, executing it's probably going to be far, far worse. I don't even know how you would do that.
Well, then, I mean, yeah, a starting quarterback, what are you trying to, you're trying to wait until the very last day of the season or maybe somewhere in the middle of the year, you're like, we're only playing the... whoever's terrible in a given season.
Here's the thing.
Playing the Bengals this week.
Let's say you have a situation like the 49ers and the Seahawks did this last year, where it comes down to literally the final game of the regular season where they're playing for the NFC West, and both quarterbacks have already played all 16 games. Well, guess what? Neither one of those guys is allowed to start week 17.
Yeah, because it's like just it's something else that a coach then has to manage.
Yep.
That, you know, imagine that, though. You're coaching one of those teams, and you get to this really important game at the end of the year, and you realize, like...
Oh, crap, I can't start Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't manage this well because I've got to bench Russell Wilson for the game. I mean, then you're getting fired for that.
I was going to say, then when you get what? Who's his backup?
Russell Wilson's?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know that quarterback from Texas there, Tyrone Swoops. I don't know if that's his backup or not. I know he's on the team. So we get Tyrone Swoops versus... Who's Jimmy G's backup? Is it Beathard still out there?
I don't know.
All right, yeah. week 17.
Whatever it is,
week
it's
17
terrible.
To decide the NFC West and playoff positioning. We got Tyrone Swoops and CJ Beathard from Iowa.
Well, then that's so then the coaches will get fired over that next.
Exactly.
Because they haven't managed their off week for their quarterback.
Here's the thing about the NFL. All this sounds really, really good on paper and in a meeting room. But when you think about it in terms of how an actual team is run and how football goes, it's a terrible idea.
No, but in the end, it's just what they know is like people are going to watch it.
Of course.
So there's going to be, hey, there's going to be two more playoff teams. Guess what? We're going to watch it. There's going to be another regular season game. We're going to watch it.
Because now that you have the two extra playoff teams, instead of game one starting on Saturday at 4:40, oh, it's going to start at noon, then 4:40, then 8:30, whatever. Same thing on Sunday, 12, 4, and 8. So you have two complete days of wall-to-wall football instead of half days like we have now.
Well, and it's also for teams that have been the two seed in the past. There's also one now less off week there too, because you're not getting that.
Right.
Only one team in each conference is going to get that week off.
I mean, theoretically, I like the idea of the number one seed having a distinct advantage over everybody else. I mean, okay, if you're the best team in your conference, then yeah, you should have some kind of advantage. Like, I'm not mad about that part, but you know, we're allowing a Duck Hodges led Steelers team into the Super Bowl last year.
No, I think when it comes to that, where a team's going to have to just play one week again for the next and not have that time off, that's probably factored into the negotiation that's happening now with the CBA, where it's like, okay, you want to add a regular season game, but you want to do it without adding a bye week.
Yep.
But you're also creating, you know, one less bye week for a two seed in a conference that normally had that week off too. So.
Right. And again, it goes back to the Patriots game against the Dolphins in week 17 would not have mattered. I mean, yes, technically for positioning and seeding, but
it mattered to me.
But as far as that bye week goes, it would not have mattered because they wouldn't have got it anyway.
No, the only thing it would have cost them was New England would have had to have gone on the road to Kansas City and still instead of potentially hosting them. But
and again, like yes, traveling can be a distinct disadvantage, but not it doesn't compare to just not having to play a game at all.
Right. All right. To the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Tyler, you may fire when ready.
We're talking about the NFL draft in the last segment. Obviously, a lot swirling around Joe Burrow and if he's going to go to the Bengals or not. What team, and this is not specifically for Joe Burrow, but what team could you maybe realistically see trading up into that first 10 picks and trying to grab somebody good that's not already there?
The Colts.
Okay.
Would be one, but the Colts could end up being a player in free agency too for a guy.
Do you like Frank Wright as a coach?
Yes, I do.
Football guy.
Yeah, but not, let's see, not the Raiders, because the Raiders are probably going after Brady. I still think Brady's going to end up back in New England.
Well, not according to the last SportsCenter.
Yeah, all this stuff is a negotiation. Brady, I'm sure, wants as much money as he can get. Now, he probably wants multiple years, too, and the Patriots probably don't want to. But at the end of the day, like New England wants Brady back, and Brady would. And if Brady's coming back for anything more than just, I want to make more money, and I think I still got something. But if he just wants to come back and put himself in the best position to have a shot at winning another Super Bowl, then New England is the best place for him to do that.
Absolutely.
He's not going to do that with the Raiders.
Right.
But the Colts at 13 would be one. Not the Bucks, not the Broncos, Falcons, no on the Cowboys. The Dolphins are already in. So I guess the Colts would be the best bet for it. I don't like the Patriots and Saints aren't going to do that, because they could be at number 23 or 24. They're sitting there and they're like, they could have, you know, like Jake Fromm could be there.
Right.
But if you're talking about moving up to get either Burrow, well, I mean, Burrow's not even realistic because the Bengals are going to take him. But you're talking about moving up to get maybe, like, say, Justin Herbert. I don't even know that two is realistic, because I think he's going to end up going two or three, because I think some team's going to have to move. Either the Lions are going to take him, or some team's going to have to move to number two to get ahead of the Lions if they want him.
Well, I mean, the Dolphins are one of those teams that's kind of got their eye on them, right?
Yeah, and they've got two extra first-round picks to use as bait to trade and get up over Detroit.
I mean, how would you feel about having to root for Tua if he becomes a member of the Dolphins?
Well, if he's, I've talked myself into him on the basis of the Russell Wilson vibes that he puts off.
Right.
So I'll suck it up.
Well, and it's not like the Dolphins are foreign to Alabama players. I mean, you had Kenyon Drake, Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, some pretty significant guys that are no longer with the team, of course, but...
Yeah, well, they even when I was a kid growing up, they had a bunch of good ones, too, like Tony Nathan, Don McNeil, Bob Baumhauer.
You didn't have the same disdain for Alabama at that point.
No, at that point I didn't. Dwight Stevenson. So they've always had this weird connection with Bama.
Right.
Including Don Shula's son, Mike, becoming Bama's head coach, who, of course, he played there. So
that's right. Hey, they may end up with DeAndre Swift, though. A lot of draft boards predicting that.
Yeah, they could. Well, they've got, for now, they've got three first-round picks, but I think if they want to, they're going to have to trade up. I wouldn't stay at number five, and I'd be nervous about what the Lions would do.
Right.
But just as I've talked myself into, I've learned to love the potential of Tua.
Uh-huh.
With my luck, it'll end up that they'll just stay at number five and then draft Justin Herbert, who I do not like.
You don't.
Never have, and I can't imagine that I ever will.
I think he's a lock for the Chargers.
Not if the Dolphins don't get two and they stay at five, then the Dolphins are taking them.
I guess. I don't know. Every draft board I've seen, they have him go into the Chargers. And I have a weird feeling of just how he would fit in that system. But again, yeah, if the Dolphins can't get Tua, then I guess they would go after him. But, I mean...
Yeah, I think Herbert to the Chargers has been under the assumption the Dolphins are taking Tua.
Right, but when you think about it, like, what's really the difference between Justin Herbert and Josh Rosen? Probably not a whole lot, and clearly the Dolphins weren't interested in Rosen.
No. I would say the one difference is, like, at least Herbert's college teams were good.
That
like
is
Oregon
true.
Oregon did win they didn't win the Rose Bowl. They did win the Rose Bowl.
They won the Rose Bowl.
That game mixes me up because, like, Wisconsin was the better team and blew it.
Yeah. Because Oregon got, like, the block punt. They return a kickoff.
And then Herbert had, like, three rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
But it's like that... Wisconsin should have won it. They didn't. Oregon did. But Oregon won the Rose Bowl. They won the Pac-12.
Right,
it's like when Rosen was at UCLA, they kept going like 7-5 and 6-6.
Yeah.
So at least with Herbert, his teams were good. But I don't know. With Oregon, it goes back to Oregon quarterbacks too. Dan Fouts was really good.
Yep.
But Akili Smith, Joey Harrington,
Marcus Mariota's not looking that great.
Yep, Marcus Mariota, good call there. So, but hey, talking about Dan Fouts and the Chargers. So they struck gold with an Oregon quarterback once. Maybe they would do it a second time. But I'd be okay with Burrow, and even though he went to Alabama, I'll learn to love Tua, but I don't want any part of Herbert.
Right. Well, we just briefly talked about this. You're pretty convinced that Tom Brady is going to be back with the Patriots, so I'll rephrase my original question. Who needs who more? Does Brady need Belichick more? Does Belichick need Brady more? For at least this upcoming season.
I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, but I don't know that how much Bill Belichick has got left there, but he's the best coach ever, okay.
Yeah.
But, and that's been a great relationship, but you got to have a quarterback. And I, at this point in his career, though, Brady wasn't terrible last season,
but
he's obviously in the twilight.
Well, he had nothing around him last season.
Yeah.
At all.
But Belichick, you got to have that guy at quarterback. If they don't have Brady, do they go out and get like Teddy Bridgewater? But you could throw some names out there, and the Patriots will likely still have the best quarterback in the AFC East next year, even if it's not Tom Brady.
That's kind of the assumption a lot of people have. It's like, if Brady were to go to Las Vegas or L.A. or something like that, well, I mean, you know, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick's just got this system, plug in a new guy and you'll be just fine. And again, we don't know if that's true or not because we've never seen this system winning championships, at least, without Tom Brady.
But there was the one year that he got hurt and they had Matt Cassel and they didn't make the playoffs that year, but they did go 11-5. It's not like they cratered or anything.
Right, but... Was that when was Moss still on the team then?
No, that was before.
Deion Branch.
I guess that was after Moss. He was gone.
Deion Branch.
He might have been gone too.
Again, they cycle through so many guys, but I feel like that team had a lot more pieces around them than just Tom Brady. So Matt Cassel, and again, Matt Cassel ended up being a pretty decent quarterback in the NFL. I just feel like there was more around him to help him be successful.
Yeah.
Fun fact, he never started a game at USC. Matt Cassel.
No, I think that's I don't know that Brad Johnson ever started at the Florida State either.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And hey, he won a Super Bowl.
He did. He won a Super Bowl. And threw a touchdown pass to himself.
Good old check down Charlie.
Yeah.
Whose son is gonna be a Tiger.
Yes, he is. Now he's got another son who's a tight end there.
Yes, a very good tight end.
Yeah. Hopefully Georgia can get him in a couple of years.
I guess I've seen them play over at Oconee, and I was thoroughly impressed.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
But yeah, Max is actually already at LSU. I think he's an early enrollee.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I mean, Joe Burrow's leaving. It's open season at that quarterback position.
They got to get cranked up. Plus, they've got, I mean, everyone left. They've got, yep. I guess, Steve Ensminger's there, but Joe Brady's gone to the Panthers, yep. And Dave Aranda's the head coach at Baylor now, so.
And that's kind of an interesting thing, too. Like, obviously, Joe Brady wasn't the offensive coordinator. He's the passing game coordinator, so he introduced a lot of elements to Ensminger that helped make that offense successful. Like, now that Brady's gone, like, how much of that is Ensminger going to be able to retain?
Well, they brought in they've replaced Brady.
Oh, they have?
With Scott Linehan.
Okay. I did not
know
that.
Who was at one point for a couple of years, he was the head coach of the Rams.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's not some young up-and-coming guy like Brady was. Like, yeah. This, I mean, we're like, honestly, no one had really heard of Joe Brady until he emerged last year at LSU. I mean, Scott Linehan's been around for a while.
I didn't know they'd brought him in. I guess that'll kind of, which again, like every coordinator has their own way of doing things, but I imagine they're going to want to keep things as close to the same as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think LSU's going back to being some toss sweep university anymore. They're in it now, but they're not going to be at the same level that they had been this past season. That was just a perfect storm.
And that's the thing is, like, you kind of look at what happened here with, Coley staying here, or Coley being the offensive coordinator this year. Why is his name escaping me? Went to Tennessee to be their offensive coordinator.
Oh, Jim Chaney.
Yeah, Jim Chaney, of course, because Coley worked under Chaney, and the assumption was, oh, he's just going to run the exact same type of offense, and it just didn't work out that way. Now, obviously, Coley isn't as well-known of a name as Scott Linehan has been, but you know, just because you say you're going to keep things the same doesn't mean it's always going to be that way.
No. I mean, you're going to have to replace Burrow and, you know, an offense that, like, every one of those skill guys is going to be. They're going to get drafted next month.
Yeah, say it's a...
Or in April.
But here's the thing. LSU fans are going to be riding the high of the national championship through this entire season, whether they go 15-0 or they go 6-6.
No, yeah. Coach O's he's got a couple seasons now where that he's got himself some goodwill.
Joe Burrow mentioned in his Heisman speech he should get a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
And while obviously that didn't happen, I'm sure there were a lot of people like, hey, he's got a point.
I mean, honestly, Coach O might already be, if you considered, like, who's the best coach now in LSU history? Like, he might be the answer. You can't say Saban because he went on to a rival.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Miles won a national title there and all, but he's not the character that Coach O is. Coach O obviously feels like one of them.
Any argument for Les Miles, though, is he did it without having, like, a superstar quarterback. Matt Flynn. And then he got back to the national championship with Jordan Jefferson and Jarrett Lee.
Yeah.
So.
And then they got shut out, though.
Yes, they did. So it's like, okay.
And I don't believe they even crossed midfield in that game.
At the very end of the game, they did.
Oh, so once.
It took like 3.5 quarters.
Okay.
Yes, I remember watching that game.
Because I remember like that following basketball season when LSU played at Alabama and they crossed half court. I think like the Bama fans actually like cheered for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember all the memes and the digs about that one.
Yeah.
That was one of the most uneventful national championships. Though, I don't know. I guess it kind of got outdid by Bama blowing the doors off Notre Dame the next year.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Hey, how about Clemson blowing the doors off Alabama 2 years ago?
From a pure football standpoint, not an entertaining game. From my standpoint, highly entertaining.
That was a 4-touchdown blowout. I watched just about every second of it.
Oh, I did too. I loved it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved it. Closing out the 5-5 here. Obviously, you had the big Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder fight over the weekend. Their rematch, because they had a draw their last time. And Fury ends up knocking Deontay Wilder out, and Wilder comes out with the excuse that his costume that he wore to the ring, which weighed like 40 pounds, was so heavy it took some of the strength out of his legs. Now, again, he got popped in the face and knocked out.
Like his eardrum was ruptured?
Yeah, and like there's the still frame of just like his jaw being like 3 inches to the right.
And then Fury was licking his neck at one point.
Yeah. Sports excuses. Is this one of the top ones? Have you heard worse?
Well, it gets me to thinking about Tech lifting weights on the sideline before
That's
games.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like this is, you know, you're wearing 40 pounds of material to the ring. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a leg workout then.
Right.
You got to carry that to the ring, but sometimes those are long walks.
Well, did you watch the fight?
No.
I didn't either.
Was it on like regular TV?
So it was on ESPN Plus and Fox Sports pay-per-view. So those two collaborated for this. We had to like order it.
I've got ESPN Plus, so I could have watched it.
I think you have to like, it's a special event that you have to pay more for.
It's
not like whatever like the $4.99 ESPN Plus is. You may be able to go back and watch a replay now.
So it was still a pay-per-view.
It was still a pay-per-view, yes. But like Tyson Fury got carried to the ring because he's the Gypsy King, and he had like a throne, and he had the people carry him like they were servants. So he didn't exhaust any energy going to the ring.
The Macho Man had already done that though. He ripped that off.
That's the thing is like, and again, when did boxing turn into professional wrestling where we had these elaborate entrances? What happened to just walking to the ring with a towel around your neck?
I remember that's Mike Tyson would just wear that hoodie.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that there was music that played when he came to the ring. It was as menacing as it gets.
He didn't need it. And he had just the straight black trunks, no designs, no decorations.
Yeah. No, that was straight up menacing when he would come to the ring.
Yeah.
It was just simple, nothing to it.
I watched one of his short fights the other day. I forget who he was up against, but yeah, like the other guy, he had like on, not a costume, but he had very decorative gear on, and Tyson's just standing in the corner in his black trunks, and you know, got 20 seconds in, bam, down he goes.
Was it the Spinks fight?
It wasn't the Spinks
that's
fight.
That's the one that lasted, you know, not what, 91 seconds?
No, it was shorter than that. I don't remember.
No, I know, like the coming to the ring lasted longer than the fight.
Exactly, pretty much. And it's like, man, if I paid for this pay-per-view, I'd be kind of angry that it was so short.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad excuse, though, for Wilder, but it does get me to thinking about those, Tech lifting weights on the sideline. But they've got, like, obviously there's a strength and conditioning coach there that's...
They're trying to prove a point.
Yeah, but why are you working out before a game?
So it can be seen on national television.
It's the dumbest idea,
Not only that, this was in the end of August where it's, like, 100 degrees because the sun hadn't gone down yet. That's even worse.
Well, yeah, but they were doing it even before the Georgia game. I think they kept doing it.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so.
I only remember seeing it before the Clemson game, which, of course, that ended badly.
I just imagine them doing that here this fall.
I hope they do.
I do, too.
I hope every time we score a touchdown on them, you know, you just simulate, like, bicep curls or something like that.
Yeah, maybe get down to, like, a deadlift
pose.
Well,
hey, remember Coach Collins did those half push-ups when they...
Yeah, they recovered an
onside kick, and you know, then they end up losing by 45 points.
Well, and then the ensuing drive after recovering the onside kick, I think they picked up a yard.
Yeah. So, and that was in like the worst quarter of the entire season for Georgia, and we still won by 45.
I gotta imagine like if Kirby looked across the field and saw Collins doing that, it had to run through his head like I can never lose to this guy because it would be embarrassing.
I already knew going into this year that Collins was going to have to pay for Paul Johnson's late touchdown with Brad Stewart in 2018 because obviously that was Johnson's parting shot. And it's like, well, the next guy's going to end up paying for that one.
Well, yeah, especially after calling timeouts too.
Yep.
To keep the game going.
No, I very much look forward to Tech coming here in November.
Yeah. I mean, they might get shut out again. The only points they scored this year was because they got the short field after a fumble.
And it's like, I obviously want to be in the SEC championship game every year, but if this ends up being a down year and we don't have to go to the SEC championship the following week, let's hang like 80 on them. Why not?
Yeah, because then you can just keep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not worried about anything.
You don't have to pull anyone out of the game once you get a big lead. You can just keep, you know, full speed ahead.
Right.
All right, to the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.